desire and interest in your prayers this morning. The message is entitled, and I mentioned a couple of weeks ago and talked about cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. And I trust that you all have been doing that. I hope some things have been growing in your life. And I'd like to encourage us to continue, even from week to week, choose a different fruit. And look up different scriptures. About every day I was looking up scriptures on that one fruit that I was focused on, and find a few different scriptures on that and be meditating on that. And it brought about some challenges. You know, some of the test of life, it was like, all right, mine was joy. It's like, okay, Lord, where's the joy in this? And okay, I'm going to have the joy of the Lord as my strength. And go in, and there's a lot of things on those different fruits. So I'd encourage us to continue to cultivate and work. I mentioned two weeks ago that felt like the Lord had inspired me on a couple of more messages on the lines of cultivating. And this morning I'd like to address the subject of cultivating the marriage relationship. To cultivate, again, by definition, is to prepare land for the use of crops, to raise or assist the growth of crops by tilling. It means if you cultivate something, it means to devote time and thought to refine, to nurture, to promote, and to advance. So there is second only to our relationship with God Himself. For those that are married, it is vital that we cultivate the marriage relationship. And to those that are not married, you younger ones, it's important for you to get hold of some of the things that we're going to bring out this morning, because if you do get married down the road, it's important to recognize the importance of cultivating that relationship and how to do that. Marriage is an institution that has been torn down and belittled by our society. But godly marriage is a beautiful thing. That's right. It was ordained of God, and so much so that God used that relationship of marriage to describe the relationship between the church and Christ Himself, which means it's something that was beautiful, and it was intended to be something very positive, but our world has kind of given marriage a bad name. You know, marriage, it is just not, you know, less, what is about half of marriages stay together. But the Lord, in describing the relationship between the Christ and the church, it was something that was wonderful. Marriage is the most intimate and the closest of all human relationships. It supersedes the relationship that we have with our parents. Because marriage, see, I didn't choose my parents. I love my parents. I would do anything I could for my parents. I've told my parents, and I've told my mother-in-law, if they ever need a place to come and stay in their old age, they have a place. They've got a place. There's because I love them. They took care of me when I was young. I'll take care of them when they get old. We'll do whatever it takes. But there is nothing that supersedes that relationship that a man and a wife have between themselves. Contrary to civil laws and practices, marriage in the eyes of God is a lifetime commitment. It is a lifelong relationship. And so anything of value requires care, protection, and time. And the quality of the marriage relationship has the power to bring grief. It has the power to bring anger and loneliness and isolation and a lot of stress. But it also has the power to bring a lot of joy and to bring beauty and fulfillment when that relationship is cultivated. And so where many people, as they neglect their relationship with God, and we looked at 2 weeks ago, when people neglect the relationship with God, what happens? Thorns grow up, thistles grow up, the walls get broken down in that sense, but in marriage, when it's neglected, walls get built, don't they? Walls get built between people. So just as a field can bring forth a good harvest or bring forth thorns, so is in a marriage relationship. And the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, a little repeat from 2 weeks ago, he that soweth sparingly shall what? Reap sparingly. You realize that applies in relationships as well? Not just marriage relationship, any relationship. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. In other words, a lot of times you get out what you put in. So in the marriage relationship, I want to challenge and encourage us, whether maybe you're going through a stressful time or whether you're on the mountaintop in your relationship, to cultivate that relationship. Take time with the relationship. And if you put more in, you will get more put out. But we live in a world that's really not willing to invest very much. They're not willing to invest very much. If something goes a little bit wrong, people are walking off their job. It seems like, I was scrolling through the news, and I may have mentioned that, I don't know if I did it publicly or to some of you privately, but or maybe it was Brother Max and I, I don't remember, but it was like looking, scrolling through the news, and they were like, these people getting on, I guess it's TikTok and all these other things, glorifying, I worked for 10 minutes and quit my job. Like that was a real good thing. And I've been seeing a lot of that happening. It's like I walked off the job, like that was something to glorify. But do you know marriage is really starting to be the same way? It's like people are not willing to invest something. And they say, what do you do in your car if you get a flat tire? Do you just get rid of the car? Well, it's get rid of that one, got a flat tire. Or if maybe it gets out of time a little bit, need to change a spark plug. You say, well, done with that car, let's get a new one. No, it takes some maintenance. It takes some repair. It takes time. It's the same way with marriage. You're going to have a little flat tire every once in a while. There's going to be something that, you know, you may hit a nail in the road or there's going to be something. Maybe need to change a spark plug, put a little more fire in the relationship. But you don't say, I'll just get a new one, but you change a spark plug. You give maintenance. You do what you need that you can preserve that, fostering and cultivating the marriage relationship. In marriage, those of you that are married are well aware of this. There are differences of personality. There's difference of perspective. And sometimes you can even be on a different wavelength. But do you know when you cultivate those differences in a marriage relationship, it actually brings about something very beautiful. It brings about strength. I didn't marry her because she was just like me. You know, God, as we all know, God created male and female. Anything different than that is 100% contrary to God's will in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And that's scriptural. But God designed the beauty of marriage to be not just in the similarity, but in the differences. And people say, well, men and women, we just think so differently. I just don't know how we're compatible. We think we're just so... Thank the Lord. God, you know, God made women, men and women do think differently. And we could give lots of illustrations, and I think you all have probably heard some of those illustrations, but it's easier for men to put things in a box. You know, they isolate things and they can deal with this and then this. And they talk about women, everything is a little more intermingled. And everything tends to mesh a little bit more in a different way. But do you realize that doesn't mean you're incompatible? It means that as you foster that and cultivate the relationship, that as a unit we can be stronger because of those differences. And we can be strengthened by one another. And maybe where I miss it, my wife will get it. I thought it's very interesting, just even on a spiritual level. There have been times in our marriage, and we're working on 30 years now. When you've done something for 30 years, you do learn a few things. So I've noticed that even spiritually, times that maybe I was struggling with, and I know some people don't like to use the word discouragement, but just... it just seemed like the weights were there. It's like my wife was more, you know, positive and upbeat, and that was a strength to me. And then about the time that I was, you know, get over that, and I'm the one that's encouraged and strengthened, and maybe she went through a rough time, and I was there to help her hold her up. Do you know that's where two is stronger than one? And that the Lord wants that to be here, that we are nurturing and fostering and valuing the differences rather than looking at the differences as issues of incompatibility. But rather seeing those things that as we cultivate that as a unit, we are stronger. Well, in marriage, I mentioned the difference, some of the differences there. Do you know that when the marriage relationship is neglected? Because anything of value takes time, doesn't it? Jobs, finances, your yard, that's insignificant. I mentioned that a couple weeks ago. You will come by, if you look at my yard, and you'll be like, what happened? And I think the neighbor mentioned something's going on. He mentioned it to my brother-in-law, of all people, that he knows. There is something there that is just... because time and just not being there. The same thing happens with marriage. If you want your marriage to prosper, it takes time. And you can get too busy, wrapped up in the cares of life, lawful things, and your marriage can start suffering. But if we spend all our time on the lawful things of life, and men that get this mentality, well, I'm putting food on the table for you. Do you know it's important to have food on the table? But at the end of the day, and you get old and you look at each other and walls are built up and there's no closeness and there's not much relationship, I'd rather eat beans and cornbread. Nothing's wrong with beans and cornbread. But I'd rather eat beans and cornbread and not be able to afford anything else and have a good relationship with my wife than not have to worry about coupons and not have to worry about, you know, where we're going to get money to buy the next meal and not have a good relationship with my wife. There are things that are more valuable than the earthly things of this life. And that's relationship with God, number one, folks. Let's not let the things of this life interfere with our relationship with God. And that's what's happening with a lot of people. And let's not let it interfere with our marriage relationship. Sometimes we need to learn how to say no. I need to spend time with my wife. Need to spend time, but I've got things to do. You know what? It'll wait. But you wait too long on your relationship with your spouse, there's going to be some thorns grow up. There's going to be some walls built up and some things that you're not taking time to communicate. You know, communication, it takes time to communicate. It doesn't always happen in 30 seconds as you walk out the door. Cultivate communication in the home. And I'll say about cultivating communication, that means learning to listen. Have you ever been in discussion with someone and you'd basically tuned out they were saying until they could pause and you were just ready to share your perspective? You're just waiting for them to get quiet so you could get in there and say what you were thinking. You know, in strong marriages, take time to stop with my perspective and say, I want to try to understand what my wife is saying. And you know, for a man sometimes, and I've... this is not belittling women, but I've just in marriage counseling and it just happens this way. Sometimes men can be very A, B, C, D, E, F. You know, you got everything lined up and got A, B, got, you want to get to C, go to B and taken care of, end of discussion. But do you know women don't process that always like that? And it's easy in a discussion, and maybe if I'm the only one, then maybe you ought to be up here instead of me. But sometimes I have found that in a discussion, if something is not said just that doesn't follow that logic, you know, the transitive property or the commutative property or the associative property, and by training, I am a mathematician by my college education at least. If something doesn't fit those logical parameters, then let's deal with the logic of it And in dealing with the logic of it, you miss the very point that your wife might be trying to communicate. You miss the whole point. You say, but A plus B, you know, you do this proper, you do this first, and then you associate this, and, you know, you move this here, and if you do it here, you got to do it there. And you start getting intermixed in, but you said such and such. Well, don't worry about what I said, but how can you, I mean, do you want us to take what you say or not? But we have to take time to try to get beyond sometimes the words. What are they trying to communicate? It's not always the words. It's not always what was said exactly, but what are they trying to communicate? And that works both ways. When a wife is listening to her husband, and maybe it just seems like it's like this, to realize, but he's communicating maybe not with the emotion, and that doesn't mean that he's trying to be difficult either, but that's the way he communicates. And so there's a place then to take time for a husband and wife to get beyond the words, get beyond how I perceive it, and say, what is he or she really trying to communicate? Cultivate communication, cultivating that. When the marriage relationship, and I had not planned for this to be a series. Our time is getting away from us real quickly. The marriage relationship, when it's neglected, it can start bringing indifference. It can bring indifference. Do you know that's a dangerous place to be? You may say, well, I'm being faithful to my wife. I'm being faithful to my husband. But indifference. She goes this way. He goes that way. You know, the devil can really start working where there's indifference. And to minimize or to mitigate the power of indifference takes a concerted effort. I want to cultivate this relationship. When there is tension in the home, it disrupts the children's equilibrium. Okay? Where husbands and wives are maybe have tension at best. There are some homes that unfortunately it goes beyond tension. But you know, if we have the fruit of the Spirit, we need to have patience and love and our conduct and our words. Unfortunately, there are too many homes in our world today that children are growing up hearing mom and dad fighting and arguing and throwing things and throwing their tantrums and acting up. Do you know that never belongs in the home of a child of God? And if there are those places, that's places to bring to the Lord and say, Lord, work in my life. One of the greatest things, I'll tell you, you can go to all the marriage seminars you want, but do you realize that when we cultivate the spiritual graces of Christ in our life, that will do more for your marriage relationship than any seminar can do? To cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, the patience and the love and the joy and the long-suffering and the gentleness and the meekness in the marriage relationship. That will do so much more than saying, I need someone to tell us what to do. How I can't resolve this problem and we're just at an impasse. And how can we? You start cultivating the fruit of the Spirit and you will find it will start doing something wonderful in your marriage. Well, when it's really important for husbands and wives to recognize that where there is tension in the home, the children can oftentimes sense that. And if there are differences, those discussions should always take place outside of the hearing of the children. That should be the goal, that those things are not discussed in front of the children because they can sense, mom and dad, there's something wrong and things aren't real good right now. And the tensions start, and then the children start misbehaving and it creates more of a problem. The greatest thing that a husband and wife can do to be good parents is to cultivate the marriage relationship. Because, and let me just put it this way, I know when young children, especially on the home, especially for wives, there's a lot of time and energy put into taking care of those little children. But do you know what's even more important than taking care of those little children? It's taking care of your husband. Taking care of your wife. Because so often what happens is the children are demanding this and that, and it's all about the children. But the greatest gift that we can give to our children is the stability of a strong marriage relationship. And we'll get to the children. They're not going to be neglected. They're going to be taken care of, you know. But it's really important that even when parents have young children in the home and they take a lot of time, and I understand that, I'm not so far removed from that that I have forgotten, but it's still really important to realize that number one is not my children, it's my wife. It's my husband. So when one of the children's calling from one room, Mom, you know, Dad's in the other, hey, honey, who you can answer first? If the child's not burning the house down, you answer your husband first. He has priority. And you understand what I'm saying? That the point being that we don't want to allow the other cares of life, even with our children, to cause the marriage relationship to be neglected. All right. Marriage relationships take care and maintenance. I mentioned a car. Sometimes it needs maintenance. Do you know marriages need maintenance? Anybody here that's been married for just a little while, you'd say it takes maintenance, doesn't it? Got to change the oil sometimes. Got to give it a car wash, but you don't. You say, well, it got dirty today. I guess I need to get rid of it. No, just wash it. So there's going to be things that come up in marriages sometimes. It's not the end of the world. For young people that are married and something happens and their world is shaken, it's like, I didn't know this. We're just having this issue. And what? It's okay. It's okay. But if something's of value, work on it. It takes time, but cultivate it. And you're going to find something beautiful comes out of that. Well, I'd like to address some ways to that we can start cultivating that marriage relationship. Good marriages don't just happen. Okay? You say, well, it was heavenly bliss. I saw this wonderful young woman and we got married and it's been bliss without a bump in the road for almost 30 years. I can't say that. You know, there's things that have happened and stresses of life and differences. They say, you know what? This, for a good marriage, you have to cultivate it. It doesn't just always happen by itself, but that's okay. Because we're all different people. We do have differences, but that can be a positive thing. So we have to cultivate. So the scripture says in Proverbs 5:18, the latter part of the 18th verse, it says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And right with that, Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, live joyfully with thy wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life. So are we living joyfully? Are we rejoicing with the wife of thy youth? That sounds like someone that's got a few years on him. Do you know I don't look the same as I did 30 years ago? Do I, Renee? Look a little different? A little less hair? A few more pounds. Glad a little different if I would have preached this 3 months ago. But the thing about it is, I digress. All right. So I don't look the same. There's been a lot of water pass under the bridge in 30 years. But the scripture says rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Do you know that there's going to be a lot of changes take place in relationships? We don't look the same. We discover more of the strengths and weaknesses the longer you're married, the more you realize who the real person is. I know sometimes people are newlyweds after a year or two, all of a sudden it's like, I didn't realize this. It's okay. It's all right. You didn't cultivate it. Cultivate it. You can. I believe that two godly people that have a desire to serve the Lord, no matter how big the differences, that it is not incompatible. Because the greatest thing that can bring compatibility between two people is the bond of Jesus Christ. And He is the glue. I believe, and I'm thankful I don't have to do this, and you don't either. God doesn't want us to. But I really do believe you can take any two people that love the Lord, and they can have a, it may not be total bliss, but they can get along and have a solid marriage. It may not be as wonderful, but they can have a solid marriage. But do you realize that when you marry someone, you are making a choice? I choose you above everybody else. Let that choice remain. Let that choice remain. So 30 years later, you are still my choice. I don't need to renew my vows with my wife. They've kept me they've lasted 30 years, and by God's grace, they'll last until I draw my dying breath. But do you realize that it is the wife of my youth, the husband of your youth, to rejoice in that is going to take some cultivating. I've read about just recently, read about someone that had been married for 20 or 30, 40 years, and then they went their separate ways. And I thought, they were together for so long. What happened? They stopped cultivating. They stopped cultivating. And what held them together might have been the children. And then the children are gone, and then we don't have anything in common anymore. It was because they failed to cultivate their marriage when the children were in the home. Brings back the importance of cultivating the marriage while the children are there, because the children aren't always going to be there. I mentioned that we're not the same people that we were when we first got married, but it's important to look for the joy. And this is something very practical, okay, in cultivating the marriage relationship. Look for the things that bring the joy. Why did you choose your companion? Do you remember, those of you that are married, do you remember what was it that drew you to them to start with? Do you realize that sometimes that I've seen, especially for those that had been married too long, and all of a sudden they started realizing what marriage was, and they started realizing that there are some things about them that I didn't really know. Well, guess what? There's things about you your wife or husband didn't know. That goes both ways. But again, it's okay. It's all right. So what was it then when it seems like their stresses start rising? What was it that drew you to them? What was it about their personality? What strengths about them? What was it about them that made you want to join your life to them? Do you realize that those things, many of those looks come and go, right? That's why we don't base our marriage on looks. Because that changes. But those deeper, more important levels that you say, you know what, I remember what it was. I remember that desire. I remember that strength as a young woman that my wife had, and that drew me to her. You know what, she still has that today. She still has that. Live joyfully with that. And you know what, it helps to cultivate, to remind one another of those things. Honey, I appreciate so much. And that's why it's so important for us to learn as we cultivate the relationship, to learn to verbalize. Learn to verbalize that joy. I'm glad it's a team, see? I notice, I'm going to say something about Justin and Angela here in a minute too, but working at the chapel, this is just sharing something very, being a little vulnerable here, I guess. But I, with a lot of the stresses and burdens that we were carrying, and I started getting affected, and I was just not feeling well, and I told Renee, I said, I need you to help me. She didn't feel like she was doing much, but just her being there with me helped me get things done that just, I was struggling with just to process and just to work through, and it helped. The other night, Justin was working on some plumbing, and I walked by and noticed Angela had the instructions, and he was knelt under there, and she was reading through the thing. I thought, you know, Justin might have been feeling the same way. I could get more done if you'll just be there and just help me. I don't know that she screwed anything in or got under the sink, but I have a feeling it probably was just a moral support, if nothing else. And there's a little else there, maybe a lot, but maybe she was telling you what to do, Justin. But the point being was it communicated to me how I was feeling the other day as well. Renee, if you'll just be there to help me get this shower put in. She's never put a shower in, but it helped. Do you realize that as a team, that that's what we want to cultivate? It's being together. It's being that, you know, I just need that moral support. We need one another. If you're married, you don't want to get to the place I can just do it myself. But it's being a team in oneness, recognizing the strengths and learning to verbalize that. Now, we're not going to finish this morning, all right? I want to mention a couple other things and we will conclude and Lord willing pick up. Now, please come back next Sunday. If you don't, I'm going to think you didn't need this. But the thing about it is this. One of the things that's so important as we look for those things that drew us to our husband or wife, to cultivate that even after 30 years. Honey, you look nice. Honey, I still appreciate your desire and your strength, how you do this or how you do that. That's so important to me. That I value that. One of the things that's really important in marriage, whether you've been married for a minute or 50 years. How long again? Remind me. See, that's more than twice how long we've been married. Some of you younger ones may think 30 years is a long time. I like 62 years. We've got a ways to go, honey. So part of what is really important in cultivating a marriage relationship is in cultivating an environment of acceptance of each other. Because there's nothing that makes someone start feeling in a marriage isolated when they feel like my husband or wife is not accepting who I am. And sometimes it feels like, well, you're not doing this. I feel like I'm not doing this right, and I'm not doing this good enough, and I'm not measuring up here, and I'm not getting this done like I should. And pretty soon, there can start to be this feeling like I'm just not good enough. And what will breed the joy in marriage for a husband and a wife is to feel that security that I'm accepted. I'm accepted. And you know that takes verbalizing. That takes verbalizing in the differences, in the changes, not begrudging that there might be a few extra pounds. Not begrudging that there's a little less hair on the top of the head. Not begrudging that there's a little bit of it's taken more time, or begrudging that I didn't know you were this way and there's this weakness there. Not begrudging that, but accepting that my love is unconditional and I love you and I'm not going to expect you to be way up here, but I just want you to be here and we're going to go through life together as a team. When you suffer, I suffer. When you hurt, I hurt. When you go through a rough time, I go through a rough time. But what we're going to do is we're going to go through it together and verbalize that acceptance. Husbands, if you want to see your wife bloom, you give her the security of your unconditional love and acceptance and cultivate that on a daily basis, and it can work wonderful things in your marriage. One other point I'd like to bring out as we close this morning, and that is to lend its first cousin, what we brought out, that is to value one another. To value one another, express appreciation. Sometimes I know there's duties that we all have, you know, from cooking to washing the clothes to watching the children to going to work to mowing the yard to doing all these, just life. All of us have things to do. Do you know men still need to, in cultivating marriage relationship, to let their wives know that they are greatly valued for what they do? Greatly valued for what they do. There is no higher calling than to be a homemaker. Our world has minimized that, but there is no greater value, and our wives need to feel that value, or they stop feeling like I'm not appreciated, it feels like I'm not doing anything. You know, the same thing with the man. He can go to work, and he can do this, and if his wife just accepts it, and she's spending more than she's shoveling out more than he's bringing in, and that causes stresses, and he just starts to feel unappreciated for what. But, you know, to value one another and verbalize that. Honey, thank you for this. Thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate that. You think, well, they should know that. I mean, this is life. But we're talking about cultivating something. Cultivating an environment of acceptance, cultivating that our husband and our wife can know, I am valued. I'm valued for who I am and what I am. And maybe I can't do that like Brother Sean, and maybe I can't do that like Brother Randy or Brother Max or Brother Justin, or I can't, maybe I can't do what they do here, but this is not about comparison with this lady or that man. It's about valuing our spouse for who they are and communicating that value to them. And you know, that's something that all of us that are married can do every single day. Express it. Verbalize it. And you know, when you do that, it breeds something that creates a desire to give back, to give more. And as both the husband and wife will start creating that environment, you will see a marriage prosper. Good marriages don't just happen. They're cultivated. So we'll conclude there. Trust the Lord will bless all of you that are married, and those of you that aren't, you just file this away. You file it away, and if you down the road get married, I trust some of these things will start coming back, because little things can make big differences in marriage. Amen.